Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. Good morning, church. And good morning to you, Lord. I have to acknowledge that this is indeed a hallmark holiday and not a holiday designed or started by the church, but I do believe that it's a day worthy of acknowledgement. A lot of people I know say, well, I'm not preaching Mother's Day. I'm not even going to mention it because it has nothing to do with the church. Well, I disagree. I think parenthood has a lot to do with the church as we consider God as our Heavenly Father. And whether you have children or not, each one of you, male and female alike, have done something for someone that exemplified the role of mother. That you filled a motherly need for someone at some time. I don't know about you all, but the role of mother is not an easy one for me. If it was for you, I'm really pleased for you. But it is a rough and rocky road at times. Still is. Children don't listen. Children don't respect. Children are disobedient. Not all of them, all of the time, but certainly some of the time. Kind of sounds like our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do we listen? Do we obey and respect God? I can only speak for myself sometimes, but not always. Obedience is a difficult thing. We have to put aside what we want and acknowledge that someone who loves us without question offers us a better alternative than what we think should be what we want to be our way. This morning, Jesus continues to instruct his disciples about what they must do to continue to spread the message that he brings to the world. Obey the commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obedience is not just subjecting ourselves to God's law. It is an act of love. An act of love. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. The commandments are not easy to keep. At least they're not for me. But that's the whole reason that Jesus came. Because God knows it's not easy. And we're going to read in the next few weeks and as we come to Pentecost about how Jesus makes himself present to us at all times. Even after his ascension. This is a really high holy time for me. This time where we listen to what Jesus does and teaches. We try and understand and think about all the things that Jesus calls us to do and who Jesus is. And then we look at the ascension. What an amazing event. And I'm sure that there are people that go, that didn't happen. That was just the disciples must have been on something. But it did happen. We know it happened because God's Spirit continues to dwell in us and that truth dwells in us. And so we can know that truth, the truth of the ascension. Jesus also promises that he'll always be with us and that he will send us an advocate. That we will be helped to make our way through the world, a world that does not love and does not follow the law of God. He will send us the Holy Spirit. As he lived in the flesh, so will he continue to live in the Spirit. And Jesus abides with his followers. When he leaves this earth, he will not abandon us. But will continue to fill us with that Holy Spirit. Jesus still abides in us. Jesus teaches and promises that he will return. We're still waiting, wondering, and wishing for that return. Waiting for a reckoning by God with evil. We know that Jesus triumphed over evil, but we also know that there are ways that evil has worked itself into the world that we alone cannot overcome, that can only be overcome through Jesus. Jesus abides with us, his followers. When he leaves this earth, when he left this earth, he didn't abandon us, but filled us with that Holy Spirit. Didn't abandon us. He's right with us at all times. To me, that's an amazing promise. And I got to tell you, I don't feel it every hour, every minute of every day. And it's just like I kind of take it for granted. But when the Holy Spirit makes known something to me, it's like, okay, okay, I got it. This Thursday is the celebration of the Ascension. And it marks the beginning of the in-between time for us. The end of Jesus' time on earth, even post-resurrection, and the time when he will come again. It's the time when we begin to wait, to wonder, and to wish. We need to be ready for Jesus to return and take back the kingdom on earth, to return its right relationship, this earth, its right relationship with the kingdom of heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. So here we are. I spend a lot of time looking at the events of Jesus, and I find that I can read something in the Bible and it can really make sense to me, and then I'll read it again another time and it makes sense to me, but just in a little bit different way. We take time now to look back at all the events of Jesus' life and look to a future that we don't know what the details of are. So are we ready? Are we ready for Jesus to come again? We may not know all the details about that second coming, but what we do know is what we have to do in this in-between time. We are called, commanded, if you will, to demonstrate our love for God by keeping his commandments, to be disciples in the world, to shout the good news, knowing that we do not do this alone. God is present with us and through us in the being of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, which that word literally translates as someone who is called to come alongside someone else, an advocate. In the Eucharistic prayer, there's an action called the paraclesis. It's when the action of the priest makes visual the descending of the Holy Spirit on the elements, transforming them to God-filled, Jesus-filled, Holy Spirit-filled bread and wine. When I do this, I don't bless anything. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to come and be present and bless these elements. We are called ourselves also to embody the Holy Spirit. We must embody the Holy Spirit, and we must be open to the fact that the Holy Spirit abides in us. I love that word abide, because it's such a relational thing, especially in some of the biblical readings about, it's not just being with, it's not just knowing, it's like abiding, taking on that other person, having that other person take on a relationship with you, a relationship in which I think God is present. We're called to invite others to embrace and rejoice in this Spirit of God, this Spirit that is life-changing. Called to abide, to sit with those who don't know Jesus. There's a little quote that says, "Preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words." Sometimes all we need to do is be present, to come alongside someone and take a minute and abide with them and invite them to abide in us and thereby abide in Jesus and have Jesus abide in them. We are called to sit with those who don't know Jesus. It's our job in this in-between time to invite into the fantastical truth of the gospel. Fantastical. If you took some of the things in the Bible and offered them to someone out of context, they would say, wow, this is really good science fiction. But see, that's where the world and we separate. And we have to bring that together, to bring that truth to the reality that it is indeed true. It is not science fiction. This is a lot. I don't know about you all, but sometimes it feels really overwhelming for me to think about all the people who need to know about Jesus, who need to know that he will come again, and to need to know that through him we will indeed have everlasting life. Like I say, it's not easy. I don't know about you all, but it's not easy for me. Today, we also read that this struck me as I was reading the gospel, not the gospel, sorry. As I was reading in Peter, the idea that if suffering should be God's will, then to suffer for evil, sometimes we have to suffer for the gospel. And sometimes we rejoice with the gospel. And I don't pretend to know it all or understand it all. But I do know that Jesus watches over us, that Jesus sits at the right hand of God with the angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. I do know that we will find a joy beyond understanding when we do allow ourselves to abide in Jesus, to invite Jesus to abide in us, and then to take that and abide in the love of God. There's so many things to say today in this time after the resurrection, before the ascension. We claim in the Eucharistic prayer, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Do we really know what that means when we say that? Yeah, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ is coming again. We all say it. We all know it. Do we really know it? So I invite you in this in-between time to really think about how it is that you acknowledge God in your life. How do you love God? How do you keep his commandments? I know you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. How do you take God's love into the world to sit with someone, to love someone who is different, to love someone who is poor, to love someone who is anything? I may have told you this story, but I'm going to close with it just because it's such a powerful story, and if you've heard it before, I want to apologize because it's a good story. And it's true. I had a friend in the context of a Bible study who told this story, that one day she was pulling into a gas station to fill her car up. And as she pulled in, she noticed there by the curb, a woman was sitting. And she went in, she got her gas. But before she did, she looked at the woman and she said, "Hi, how are you?" And she smiled at her. The woman didn't answer. So, like I say, my friend went ahead and got her gas. She turned around and came back out, and she was pulling out onto the road. The woman on the curb stood up. And she walked over to her, and she said, "I want to thank you." And the woman said, "Well, for what?" She said, "I was sitting on the curb trying to figure out how I was going to kill myself. And then you asked me how I was, and you smiled at me. And I saw something in you that was worth living for." Amen.